Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. We are live worldwide on CUTV News Radio. This is your host, Jim Masters. We appreciate you joining us today, making us a part of your day. And we want to wish all those in the Northeast who are preparing for the major blizzard, we hope you stay warm, you stay dry, and you stay safe. It is 3 p.m. Eastern. At the time of this live broadcast, it is March 13th, 2017, a Monday. This broadcast will be archived, and you'll be able to hear it on our site, as well as iTunes and Stitcher and other great areas. And we appreciate you tuning in those locales as well. We are continuing our broadcast series with Roxanne Bland of Black Rose Press. Roxanne, she's an incredible person. She's the proud author of two acclaimed self-published fantasy novels. Now, if you've been following along in our broadcast series, we've been talking in depth about the novels themselves, The Moravian of Astoreth and The Underground. Last week, we really got into The Underground in fine fashion. She is an author as well as publisher, owner of Black Rose Press as well. Very creative, goes back to her childhood. She used to envision, she used to create, she used to fantasize, she used to escape into her own little world. And out of all of that creativity and fantastical way of thinking, she was able to develop characters, storylines, and these really incredible books. She's a voracious reader. She grew up in the Washington, D.C. area, where she really discovered strange and wonderful new worlds through her local public library and even bookstores. And those life experiences from that early age all the way on convinced her that reality is highly overrated. When she was 10, as we've mentioned previously, she won a citywide contest for a science fiction story that she had written, and eventually Roxanne developed a distinct writing, voice, and style of her own. She's a real storyteller. And again, the commentary, the feedback on her books has been overwhelming for Roxanne in every different direction. Really, really eye-opening and quite brilliant, too. Roxanne likes to meld science fiction, fantasy, horror, romance, erotica into her stories as well, and she describes writing science fiction and fantasy as the perfect form of expression for her. Each book she writes is truly a cathartic experience, and she's been sharing that with us for the longest time now. Now, we're going to talk today in this broadcast about something called Broad Universe. If you're not familiar with Broad Universe is an international organization of women and men dedicated to celebrating, encouraging, and promoting women writers of science fiction, fantasy, and horror. Born at WISCON, a convention for speculative fiction, back in 2000, it was begun by writers and readers in these genres who recognized that women were not adequately represented in the marketplace. So for those few intrepid founders, Broad Universe has grown into an organization over 250 members, both in the United States and abroad. And our guest, author, and publisher, Roxanne Bland, is a part of Broad Universe, and we're so excited to welcome her back to the show today to talk a little bit more in depth about Broad Universe and the state of the marketplace for women authors and so much more. So let's dive right in. We've got lots to cover. It always goes by way too fast for both of us. But Roxanne, welcome back to the show, and it's good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Jim. I'm really glad to be here.
I know you get excited about and you look forward, you count the days down to our next session together, and I do too, because the conversations are so rich and fascinating, and I learn a lot by talking to you as well about how you've been able to do all of this on your own, really. You've had some support from, you know, this one, that one, the other one, but really this is you plowing through and doing it yourself, rolling up your sleeves, diving in, writing, editing, publishing. And now Broad Universe, this sort of international organization of women and men dedicated to, you know, promoting women writers. What is the state of the marketplace for women authors of speculative fiction today? And how also, before you even answer that, for those listening who are saying speculative fiction, what is speculative fiction? Can you define that for us and then lead into what the state of the marketplace is?
Yeah, speculative fiction is science fiction, fantasy, horror, and also some genres called weird, bizarre. There are other genres at the edges, but they are genres that don't necessarily correspond to the real world. You know, take science fiction. Think Star Wars. I think everybody's familiar with Star Wars. How does that correspond? I mean, aside from the mythic part of it, which we could also get into, which we're not, you know, how does that correspond to the real world? My goodness, they have faster-than-light travel. They have, you know, blasters and things like that. You know, it's beyond what we have. And that's really what speculative fiction is. You know, like, well, what if we do this, and this? What happens then? And then you go on from there and you write your story. But that's what speculative fiction is. It's just something that's outside the ken of the world as it is today. That's what it means to me. Now, as for the state of women in the marketplace, it's better than it was. However, the marketplace itself, as well as the recommendations list and the award listings, are still dominated by straight white men. And unfortunately, there are those within the genres who want to keep it that way. There was a time, for example, when it was said that women could not write science fiction, just incapable of writing science fiction, and which always kind of makes me smile because the genre was founded by a woman. It's founded by Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, which is almost universally thought of as the first science fiction novel. And that was back in 1818.
Yeah.
So they kind of make me laugh, you know, like, oh, women can't write science fiction, eh? Well, but there are women out there writing science. I'm going to concentrate mainly on science fiction because that's what I know. I know the horror genre is underrepresented too, but I don't write horror. The science fiction genre has plenty of women writers. They're just not being recognized. There are some who are, you can probably count on your fingers times twice the number of women who are recognized. But when you compare that, you know, to the genre as a whole, the market as a whole, very, very few, very few. So, however, it's like I said, it's better than it used to be. For example, there is an anthology featuring stories by Andre Norton, Lee Brackett, Ursula K. Le Guin, called Women of Futures Past, and it was released to critical acclaim. But of course, and again, you have a lineup like that, how can it not be?
Yeah.
These are all women who were writing in the 60s and the 70s. When, you know, again, it was universally said, basically said that women couldn't write science fiction. In fact, one science fiction, I'll give you an example, one science fiction author, Alice Bradley Sheldon, actually adopted the pen name of James Tiptree Jr. so she could get her books published.
Wow.
Otherwise, they wouldn't take it. They wouldn't take it was written by a woman. So, but anyway, the market's getting better, and we have a long way to go. We've come a long way, but we have a long way to go. So I guess that's the long answer.
Yeah, that it's a long way to go. But progress, would you say the progress is happening in the form of baby steps, or are there leaps that are progressively getting closer together and more forward, larger leaps being made, or is it, again, just still baby steps?
No, I wouldn't say it's baby steps, but I wouldn't call it leaps either. I would call it steady.
Yeah.
Just steady.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, we can't steamroll our way in.
Right.
But it is steady. I think it was either last year or the year before, the highest awards, the Nebula and the Hugos, were dominated by women. So we're getting there. And we're getting recognized, and this is important because, you know, how many women out there who are, oh, they're never going to take me seriously. And, you know, but when you see things like this, hey, maybe they will take me seriously. Let me continue what I'm doing. It gives the rest, it's an inspiration for the rest of us, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, tell us more, if you can, about Broad Universe for those who are not familiar, perhaps. What does Broad Universe do to help women who write speculative fiction? What are some of the benefits of the organization, and how can it help women, and what are some of the things you've seen occur that have been successful in making these great strides?
Well, first of all, I have to say I'm Broad Universe's president. Must say that. Broad Universe, it's a service organization to our members. And what we do, I suppose, at bottom, is to provide a networking opportunity so that you don't necessarily, A, feel alone, or, B, you can ask questions. You know, Broad Universe is not just published writers. It's writers of every stripe, you know, everywhere you are, whether you're unpublished to the ones who are famous, like Connie Willis. You know,
yeah.
It's just, it runs the gamut. So you can find a mentor there. You know, anything you need, Broad Universe can provide it. For example, the person who does the covers for my books, I found her through Broad Universe. Mm. I found the person who does my formatting, I found her through Broad Universe. My editor, I found her through Broad Universe.
Wow.
So you can, so those kinds of things, I think, are probably the most important, is this networking opportunity. And it is, and you can network, of course, with women all over the world. There is a Broad Universe chapter in Australia, for example, the Broads from Oz. And, you know, there's a general discussion forum that you can talk about, a new member forum, forum on conventions and things like that. And I want to talk a little bit about conventions. Broad Universe has a presence nationally at the science fiction, fantasy, and horror conventions. What the organization does is it will buy tables in the dealer's rooms, and from there, members can sell their books. And BU takes no commission. So all the money you make is yours. And we also have things called rapid-fire readings, where a group of us will get together on a panel and read from our works. And those have proven to be very popular at conventions because I have seen, personally, I have seen the RFRs, as we call them, go from nobody in the room to just a few people in the room to standing room only. So they've become very, very popular, you know, and that's another way to get yourself out there, because sometimes what will happen, somebody hears you reading from your book and they come to the dealer's table and say, do you have this book? And you say, certainly.
Yeah, right.
So you have that, you know. BU also has a library where you can learn about the craft of writing and marketing and things like that. We have webinars, an email discussion list. We also have a catalog that's available to the public. You can look up somebody, somebody's book and find out some information on them and find out where to buy it. But I think probably one of the most valuable services that we offer our members is access to NetGalley. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know how expensive it is.
Yes, definitely.
It's hundreds and can run into the thousands of dollars. Well, Broad Universe has a contract with NetGalley by which members can submit a book for 1 month for $30. Can't beat that. And it has proven so popular that it now pays for itself. It is not. It is no longer subsidized by the organization. It's a moneymaker of its own. That's how popular it's gotten. And because it works. It works. I'm sorry. I can't go. I can't say enough about Broad Universe. It has really helped me in my quest to become a published author, in my quest to start my own publishing house. I've gotten invaluable advice from women authors who have their own publishing houses and who, you know, unlike me at this moment, actually accept submissions from other people, from other authors. It's just a fabulous organization. It really, really is. And I feel privileged, actually, to be its president, so that I can give back to an organization that has given me so much.
So folks can get involved with that organization, too. If they're listening and they want to get involved with Broad Universe, how can they go about doing that, Roxanne?
Yes, easy. Just go to our website, www.broaduniverse.org, and you can sign up to be a member. You can get your membership online, and it's very easy, very user friendly, and hey, even I can do it.
Right, that's funny. So it's great. It sounds like a wonderful, wonderful organization, and you're being the president of it is quite exciting as well. Who owns Broad Universe? Is there a parent company?
No. Broad Universe is run by a board of directors. We call ourselves the Mother Board. The Mother Board will develop policies, for example, but then we take it to the membership, and we get the membership's input on whatever it is, you know, we're presenting. So I guess you could say is the members own Broad Universe, since they have a say in whatever we do that affects the membership as a whole. For example, one of the things that we are talking about, or will be talking about, is the role of men in Broad Universe. Are they supporters? I mean, they're supporters, yes. They celebrate and they may even help promote women authors, but what else do they get for their $30? And it's $30 a year, by the way. That's the membership fee. So very affordable. And, you know, we talked about that at our annual meeting, and the membership who attended the meeting were adamant that men should not be allowed to sell books at a BU table because they have other avenues that are not necessarily available to women. So that was something that the the membership was adamant about that. And
right,
however, if you are a man and you have a publishing company and you are promoting books by Broad Universe members, then that man would be able to sell at the table because he's selling members' books, not his own. So, it's kind of a it's going to be kind of a thorny discussion, I think, because you're going to have the contingent who basically says, well, they're supporters and that's all they need to be. And then I think you're going to have the contingent who's going to say, well, what are they getting for their money? And it's, now they can certainly submit to NetGalley for, you know, for their $30 a month since they're members or something like that. But, you know, what else are they getting for their money? And that's going to be a debate. That's going to be a debate.
Right.
And one that I'm going to start very soon, or rather I should say I'm going to continue very soon. Now that my book is finally finished and it's going into production, I can.
How does that feel?
Oh, man.
Yeah. I noticed a total sound change in your voice and almost like deep breath relief.
Yes. I Saturday I uploaded it to the Library of Congress copyright site, and it's like, okay, I can hand this off to somebody else and pay attention to the rest of my life. But that's a conversation we have to. That's a conversation we have to have. You know, it's not one.
Yeah.
It's not one we can run away from. And there are other questions too. You know, BU was started by women for women. Okay. Well, what about transgender people? We want to be an inclusive organization. I mean, the issues that we're facing now did not exist in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if our situation was kind of similar to the situation when BU was started. WISCON is a literary feminist convention. And I wonder if they had the same discussions when they were talking about wanting to keep focus on the lesbian community. I understand that conversation took place.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, it was eventually decided that, no, we want to be all-inclusive. And that's what we are. But still, these are conversations that we have to have. And but, you know, we don't want to exclude anybody. What about people who are genderqueer, who don't identify with either male or female? You know, and like I said, these are questions and issues that
we don't really
have to
discuss.
Some
don't identify with either, right, exactly, yeah.
You know, where do you fit? Do you fit?
Yeah.
Well, I'm certainly not going to say, no, you don't fit and you have to leave. But the thing is that, you know, how can we be inclusive, excluding men? How can we be inclusive without diluting our core mission?
Right.
Which is to promote women in science fiction, fantasy, and horror. And I think we're just on the cusp of a whole new day. And it's an interesting discussion, and I'm not sure I am happy to be president during this discussion because, as Harry Truman said, the buck stops here.
It all comes to you, right, exactly.
But it's an interesting conversation to have, one we must have, and frankly, I expect to be enlightened by it. That's what I, if nothing else, I expect to be enlightened by this conversation. So that's where we are on that, you know, on that score. But otherwise, you know, we're chugging merrily along, and we're going to, here's something that's new. We're going to start an anthology for Broad Universe members. We're going to have an anthology. Isn't that cool?
That's very
cool. It makes me want to. It makes me wish I wrote short stories. I don't. I only write novels.
Right. Well, you never know, right? You never know.
Yeah. Short stories really is something I definitely need to get into.
That is something.
I mean, I've written short stories, but, you know, none of them ever saw the light of day, which was probably a good thing. But still, that's an area I need to delve into, because it is, short stories are a hard taskmaster.
You've
got to have everything set out. You know, you got 3 pages, and that's it. Actually, it goes by word count. You know, you've got 7,000 words. You got 5,000 words to tell an entire story, character development, the arc, the whole thing. It really instills discipline. So I really do need to start doing short stories, but not yet.
Yeah. Still got a lot on your plate, a lot that's happening for you. So Broad Universe, which people might be very surprised by, is an all-volunteer organization, right?
Yes. Everything we do is volunteer. Everything. The volunteers who run NetGalley, of course, the board of directors, the mother board, we're all volunteers. The people who run the tables in the dealer's room at conventions, the RFRs, we're all volunteers. Nobody gets paid for anything. I think, however, personally, I think if anybody should get paid, it's our webmistress and our treasurer. Those are hard jobs.
I
couldn't do them. But no, it's all volunteer. And I think the fact that Broad Universe runs so well is testament to the dedication of its members. And
that's really incredible. How many members would you say there are?
Well, at last count, I had down 250, but I asked our treasurer, and it's really closer to 280. And we're always
growing.
All across the country, all across the world. Russia, England, Brazil. And since we're all connected by the internet, we can all talk to each other.
Yeah, right.
And and we're constantly growing. We're constantly growing. It seems like every year we have more members and more members and more members. And that is, I think, a testament to what people see when they go to the website.
What is the website address?
www.broaduniverse.org.
.org. Okay, good.
Yes. One of the things we're trying to do, too, is to get more women of color in Broad Universe. I belong to a couple of sites, science fiction sites, where we're made up of people of color. And I have been gently trying to persuade some of these writers, these women writers, because there are a lot of science fiction writers who are women of color.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I have been gently trying to persuade these women to join Broad Universe for the benefits that it offers.
Well, I want to mention that website where we've come to the end. Folks should definitely go to broaduniverse.org. And, of course, for more on you, they can visit you at roxannebland.rocks. And, of course, your publisher site, BlackRosePress.com. Roxanne, thanks for joining us on the show. You'll be back next week. We look forward to it. We'll delve in deeper about the writing process and much more. But it was a real pleasure. And have a terrific rest of your week. And thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Jim.
You have a good day. And thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Masters,
your host.
You've
been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.
Jim Masters, for all of us here, have a great day.